Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Northeastern Alaska is forecast to see some early season snow over the next day. National Weather Service meteorologist Luke Culver says a system dropping down from the North Slope will impact areas of the eastern Brooks Range and eastern interior high country.
Higher points along the Dillon Highway up near Attigan Pass may receive an inch or two, and then also as that system continues to drop through, it will then impact the higher terrain of the Steese Highway, for instance, up near Eagle Summit or 12 Mile Summit, where they may get a little bit of snow.
Culver says only rain is forecast for lower elevations in areas farther south, including Fairbanks. The McKinley wildfire north of Anchorage slowed yesterday as winds calmed. Fire Information Officer Cale Casey says the reduced activity in the area between Parks Highway at miles 82 and 91 is allowing firefighters to access threatened properties.
The fire behavior is walking. What does that mean? It's a ground fire moving on the edges of things. That means we're doing point protection, which is what firefighters do best in Alaska. They get near the structures, they work right up around them. They have their engines there, they have their water supplies, and they're putting out the ground fire around the homes.
Casey says the McKinley fire has consumed about 3,000 acres and was 0% contained as of yesterday. An evacuation order remains in effect in the fire area along the Parks Highway, where about 50 structures were destroyed by wind-driven flames Sunday. Traffic flow is still being regulated in the fire zone along the Parks Highway. The McKinley fire started Saturday when a tree fell on a power line. It's one of several fires active in the South Central area. Governor Mike Dunleavy has signed a bill that provides a $1,600 permanent fund dividend check this fall. Alaska Public Media and KTOO report that the governor has not given up on paying a full dividend as calculated using a formula in a 1982 state law. In a recorded statement released yesterday, Dunleavy says he expects to call a third special session this fall solely to pay the remaining roughly $1,400 in dividend amount.
If I had the authority to add more money to the budget for a full PFD, I would. However, only the legislature, by constitution, can appropriate these funds. The legislature has once again denied the people of Alaska the full statutory PFD.
The bill signed by Dunleavy yesterday would have reversed nearly all of roughly $400 million he originally vetoed from the budget in June, but Dunleavy re-vetoed just over half of the money, including funding for Medicaid and to reimburse municipalities for school bond debt. Dunleavy also axed $5 million for the Alaska Marine Highway System. He says the cuts are necessary to bring spending in line with revenue.
Reforms have been initiated to make services and programs such as Medicaid, the University of Alaska, and the Alaska Marine Highway System more efficient and more sustainable.
The vetoes also include all state funding for public radio and TV, as well as $3 million for unfilled village public safety officer positions. Dunleavy did not re-veto funds for the Alaska State Council on the Arts and to promote agriculture. U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Andrew Wheeler visited Fairbanks yesterday and got input from area residents about a new plan aimed at accelerating efforts to reduce local wintertime fine particulate pollution. The EPA is ultimately responsible for approving the state-generated plan, which proposes additional means to reduce wood, coal, and oil-burning emissions. Much of the testimony pointed to balancing health and economic costs. Longtime Fairbanks doctor Owen Hanley emphasized the human price of delayed action.
Deaths from air pollution exceed those from breast cancer and prostate cancer combined. So this is a very serious matter, and we have to balance that with the economic costs, but the cost of these things is very high.
Energy industry representatives urged the EPA to uphold a state finding that requiring additional emissions controls on local coal-fired power plants would raise the cost of electricity and district heat, potentially pushing customers to switch to more polluting heat sources. Aurora Energy President Rob Brown asked that the agency consider emissions offsets for power plants which engage in alternative solutions like a firewood drying kiln.
We had originally proposed that we would do that, but from my understanding, there's really not a mechanism in the Clean Air Act to allow for some type of environmental emissions offsets.
Another industry representative, Angela Spade with PetroStar Refinery, sought delay of a proposed mandated switch from number two heating oil to cleaner burning number one oil.
ADEC must have accurate information in order to justify to the Interior the significant economic burden it proposes to impose on the community. This also allows PetroStar to proactively pursue an expansion project at its North Pole refinery to increase available local supply of number one heating oil, hoping to alleviate the supply side concerns and additional transportation costs.
Mike Prax of North Pole spoke for a local group he said has bridged past conflicts between air quality advocates and wood burners.
We agreed that burning dry wood instead of wet wood in properly operated modern stoves will reduce heating costs and smoke pollution. And we agree, based on good evidence, that installing electrostatic precipitators on solid fuel heating devices could further reduce emissions to a level that would meet the federal clean air standard.
Prax said the group has been testing the chimney-mounted ESPs for 2 years, and the results have been very good, and asked that the EPA certify the emissions reduction devices for inclusion in the Fairbanks Area Air Quality Plan. Administrator Wheeler left midway through the listening session to take a call from President Trump, stalling proceedings for about half an hour, resulting in many of the non-invited attendees not getting a chance to speak. Of those who did, none denied there's an air quality problem, a switch from past debate noted by EPA's Wheeler.
My main takeaway is that everybody recognizes that there is a problem here with the air quality, and everybody seems to be wanting to work to a solution.
Wheeler says that bodes well for approval of a state plan.
Without having to go to the negative step of having to impose a federal implementation plan on the local community. So I hope what you've seen and what the people here have seen is a renewed interest in working with all levels of the government to reach a solution that protects the environment and the public health here.
Administrator Wheeler is being hosted by Alaska U.S. Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan, who both highlighted the solidarity expressed at Monday's listening session.
So I think that's the message to people who feel like they've just given up, is that things have changed, and maybe it is because we are all acknowledging that this situation cannot continue. We do have to work together, and you're seeing that coalesce.
And hopefully this meeting with the administrator here renews a sense of creative solutions.
The state is aiming to submit the new Fairbanks North Pole Area Air Quality Plan to the EPA by the end of the year. School is back in session, and the Fairbanks North Star Borough School Board meets tonight. As Kiwi Sees Robin reports, a district survey and new hires are on the agenda.
More than 13,000 students attend 35 schools in the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District. Every spring, the district conducts a school climate survey of students, staff, and parents. The result of last spring's survey will be presented to the Board of Education at their meeting tonight. Students reported a higher quality of engagement, safety, and environment of their schools than last year. Girls reported higher levels than boys in those three areas. Fifth graders reported the highest numbers for engagement and environment and tied with sixth graders in rating their school safety. When split out by ethnicity, Pacific Islanders reported the highest levels for engagement and environment, and Alaska Natives reported the highest levels for safety. The school board meeting begins tonight at 6 o'clock and will introduce 9 new or interim principals starting in their positions and new certified employees at 18 of the schools. What the public won't hear at tonight's school board meeting is an update on the investigation of the near-drowning incident on July 26th. The West Valley High School football team had rented the pool at University of Alaska Fairbanks for a preseason training exercise on that Friday evening. 3 children were taken to Fairbanks Memorial Hospital by ambulance after they were pulled out of the swimming pool unconscious. The football team's head coach who coordinated the exercise resigned the next day. The borough and the school district's risk management investigators are interviewing about 50 people who attended the training. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And I'm Dan Bross.